When we get into the Word of God, we want to believe that the Word is going to take us into another dimension. It's going to take us from a place that is maybe broken to a place that is whole, a place that is difficult to a place that is strong, a place that is hopeless to a place of blessed hope. So we have this transition of power. Job actually said the words in Job in 14. He said that I'm just here and I'm waiting on my change to come. And he starts off chapter 14 with a man that is born of a woman. His days are few and full of trouble. And we see the struggles that Job is going through. And yet his family's gone. His health is gone. His possessions are gone. And the Bible said he's actually on an ash heap and he's got broken pottery, and he's got boils and sores, and he's scraping himself. And you know, you can just see the devastation that he's going through. He'd get up every morning and offer sacrifices for his children in case one of them had sinned. He wanted to make sure. He did everything in his power to make everything right with God, and still in the midst of doing everything he could, offering sacrifices for his children, giving up sacrifices for everything, letting everything go, he finds himself on an ash heap, and he sees himself broken and hurting and scarred and bleeding, and my God, he needs a change. And Job, while he's sitting there, he said, I'm just waiting on my change to come. Oh my God. God. In other words, at least he realized that he was going to have a change. He believed that something was going to get better. But I wonder how many people today have spent so much time in their lives just wishing that it would get better, just wishing there would come a change. I want to tell you, God called me this morning to stop by the Spirit of Life and tell you that there has been a transition of power. And if you'll receive the power, it's going to make the difference in the depleted and dilapidated life that you've been living. You're going to walk out of this place different than when you came in. Your world is going to change. Your outlook is going to change. Everything's going to be made better, not because I'm the preacher, but because the Word of God says so. Amen and amen. You see, when we have a transition, it brings about a change. But you need to be transformed, the Bible said. To be transformed means to change your life. To be transfigured means to change your likeness. And we're going to be transferred, which means to change your location. Now, back in the old days, they would have preached that from the earth to heaven. But I believe that we can get a transfer from loneliness to actually a companion. I believe that we can have a transfer from brokenness to being fixed. I believe that we can have a transfer from sickness unto health. I believe we can be transferred from the place that we are into a place that God Almighty designed and destined for us to be. Amen and amen. You see, there's something that is taking place in order to have the transition and to be transformed. The Bible said that we have to have a change in our mind. To be 1 John chapter 3 and verses 11 through 14. Let's just look at these verses. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Do you understand what he's saying? He even referenced not as Cain, who killed his own brother, who was evil. In other words, when the flesh was exposed, knows, as long as Adam and Eve never ate of the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their flesh and the weakness and their death of the flesh was never exposed, because they did not see their flesh. But once the flesh was elevated, once their flesh had taken a form of dominion, now we can see the beginning, and we see the results of the flesh. The very first act that takes place outside of the garden is when Cain kills his brother. What we've got to realize is what caused the flesh to rise was a hatred of the brother. And it says even from the beginning that we should love one another. Did you know what'll bring a transformation in your life if you'll stop hating and start loving? My God, if he said this is how they're going to know you're my disciples, when you have love one for the other. This is the transformation. And your mind has got to go from the thing and the people and the ideas and the ideologies that you hate unto the mindset that there's something out there that God has put for me to embrace and love it. God. Romans 12:2 says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let it be changed. The Bible tells us in Philippians to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Why am I, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? My Lord, we come in here and we spend a lot of time begging and pleading and trying to get God to fix our circumstances. And the Bible says that we ought to have a mind like Jesus had, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Do you see what I'm talking about? You can have your whole life can be changed this morning. You could have came in this place defeated and down. And if you'll just learn to change your mind, if you'll transform your thinking. You know, some people come in and they think real negative. Everything. Have you ever talked to anybody who's always down and out? You see, did you know your whole life could change with actually the changing of your thinking? You could transform your whole being. You see, the flesh is always at enmity with the spirit, and there's always a battle. But not only is there a transformation of the mind, that you've got to change your mind, you become transfigured. When your mind is changed, the way you act, the way you look, everything around you becomes changed. You become transfigured. It's a change of likeness. In Matthew in chapter 17, I want you to see something. This is the transfiguration, and the Spirit showed me something here. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up onto the mountain. And, you know, Peter means a pebble or a rock. And James is the New Testament name for Jacob, which means to replace or to supplant. And then John means grace. And Jesus actually told Peter, I'm going to change your name from Peter to Cephas. Cephas actually means a stone. A stone is more representative of what I want you to be like. And Peter represented the stone. He was always failing. He was always falling. He was always messing up. And it looked like he was always staggering. And John represented grace, because he always lay his head on Jesus' breast, even when he messed messed up, he just still came back. And James was just always between them. And what it says, as the stone is replaced by grace, and we're going to see this transfiguration on the mountain, and here watching the stone, the law being replaced by grace, is watching this transfiguration. These people change. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, here goes the stone, here goes the law. We got all billets at church. And the Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I want you to understand that Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. And the Bible said that the law and the prophets were unto John. And now Peter says, I want to build a tabernacle to all three of you. God said, that's not what I'm showing you. I'm trying to show you something, but it's hard for the law to see the grace of God, because the law is all about what we're going to do for God, and God's grace is all about what God is doing for us. While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son. Peter said, we want to build a tabernacle for everybody. God said, this is the one. Hear ye him, not them. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces, were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man. Look, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribe that Elijah must first come? In other words, what he's explaining here is what they're seeing on the transfiguration. What they're seeing is how God sees us when the flesh is dead. They said, Elijah has to first come. But I say unto you that Elijah is already come, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also the Son of Man suffered them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. In other words, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. And John the Baptist is dead. And when John the Baptist died, Elijah, who was taken into heaven, into the whirlwind, also died. So what you're seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration is 3 men standing there with the flesh removed, transfigured, no looking at the flesh. That's why Jesus said, don't tell anybody about it until after the resurrection. Whoa, you saw me, how you're going to look whenever I am raised from the dead. And whosoever believeth in me, when God looks at you, he sees you. Just saw me. You saw a revelation of a transfiguration of the flesh taken away, and the power of grace has been restored. And in the eyes of God, he sees you as perfect and beautiful and glowing. That's why he said you can't talk about it. Peter, James, and John got to see them like God sees us if we believe in Christ. Amen. God has made a plan to make us beautiful. You know, it's the most amazing thing when the Spirit of the Lord showed me what the cross really does. Let's look at that Colossians 2:8 through 15. tells us, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. Say that with me. You are complete in him. You see, in the law, you always find things wrong, little flaws. If you believe in Christ, you're complete. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What is the other only thing that God Almighty has ever written with his hand that was against us but the law, which was contrary to us? And he took it out of the way. The Bible said, nailing it to his cross. It wasn't just Jesus. That was the flesh. And everything that condemned the flesh was nailed. What happened was, everything that happened in the flesh before the cross was crucified on the cross. Glory to God. Now we don't walk in the limitations of the flesh. We walk in the power of the Spirit. Let's look after the cross. And I'm going to let you go, my musicians. Y'all want to sing a song? Come on. You see, there's something takes place at the cross. Paul's trying to teach us with all of these passages of scriptures. Paul is in the jail. He's been beaten. He's got scars. His body's in pain. He used to have power. Now he's in prison. I'm talking about a transition of power. I said, Paul, what you gonna do? He said, I'm gonna write some people a note, and I'm gonna tell them to rejoice. He said, I'm gonna tell people to just trust in the Lord. He said, I'm going to tell people, whatsoever things are good, think on these things. Paul, what we going to do? I tell you what, Silas, at midnight, whenever this thing strikes midnight, and it's supposed to be the lowest hour in the middle of the darkness, and we're beaten and broken, he said, we are going to sing. That's the transition of power from the flesh to realizing my power is not in my body and how it feels, but it's in my relationship with my eternal Savior and Redeemer. Hallelujah. And yet we live lives trying to make this flesh feel good. I want you to stand with me. I want you to understand that's what the cross represents. God forgave you once. And not only did he forgive you, but he took everything that would condemn you and accuse you, and he nailed it to the cross where his son was dying and saved, I forgive you. And you only have to forgive once. If you want a transition of power from the pains and the heartaches and all of the things that the flesh produces.
Just as you,
and you want to just step out and say, I receive. This is my transition of power. This is the day that I don't allow the flesh to dominate my mind anymore. I'm transforming my mind. I'm having a change of life. I'm going to have a transfiguration. I'm going to have a change of likeness. I'm having a transfer. I'm going to have a change of location. I'm not going to live in the low place anymore. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to be risen with Him. He went to the low place so I could sit with Him in heavenly places. Would you like to step out and say, Brother David, I just received this word for my life this morning. I receive this word. I'm going to have a transition of power. I'm no longer going to allow my flesh, my feelings, my hurt, my sorrows, my disappointments to be the force in my life. I want my faith to rise above. Just step out all over the place. Just come on, come on, come on. We've all been there. We've all let our flesh totally dominate our heart, our mind, and our souls. But the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning, I want your faith. You're going to rise. You're going to rise above it. You see that sadness, that brokenness is not no longer going to be the force in your life. That weakness, that sorrow is not going to be the dominating force in your life. That anger, those limitations, those struggles are no longer. I'm having a transition of power. God sees me. After the cross, He sees me glowing, beautiful, restored in the image. Come on. If you're in this place this morning, if you haven't come, you need a transition of power. The real transition of power isn't replacing one person with another person, but it's replacing the Lord of your life with the Lord who gave you life. Paul said, I die daily. He said, if I die, it's gain. If I live, it's Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
Go ahead, sing it to the Lord and bless His name. When they finish singing, you are dismissed. I love you. God loves you.